Final hour on this Wednesday. Stillman and Company, presented by Southern Bank of Tennessee, your bank for small business. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly with you, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly BI membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Again, with Jared out this week, no Jared versus Joe. Typically, Jared versus Joe right at 5 o'clock on a Wednesday, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. But Jared out this week. I believe we won't have it next week either, so maybe a couple weeks. But once training camp rolls around, I'm sure we will have a geared-up Jared Stillman and Joe Rexrode for those battles. So excited for that. Instead, it's 5 o'clock this week, which means it's time for Where Are They Now? And today I am hosting. I have five names.
Oh, yes.
Again, to recap the rules, Connor and Parker are going to go head-to-head here. I have five players that everyone will know from their past accomplishments, but maybe don't know where they're playing now. That is the job of Connor and Parker, is to guess what league, what team they're playing in. The first three are playing in North America. The last two can be anywhere in the world. And we have changed the rules. You have to write it down. Write down league, write down team. It's 1 point for the right league, 2 extra points for the right team. Winner takes all and gets to host tomorrow. We got it?
Oh, I'm ready.
Here we go.
The pregame speech has been said to my brain.
It's time for this edition of Where Are They Now? Hit the music.
Let's go!
All right.
All right.
Our first one, a former college basketball star.
Oh.
Played at Creighton.
Ah.
Doug McDermott.
Oh, Dougie.
Where is Doug McDermott playing now? And again, the first three will all be in North America. They have to write it down. We're going by the honor system here that somebody's right. Going to answer first. You're not allowed to change your answer. Answers are locked in. You guys got it?
I'm good.
All right, Connor Newt.
I got it.
Where is Doug McDermott playing?
I wrote Doug Dermott is in the NBA playing for the San Antonio Spurs.
All right. Parker Kelly, where is Doug McDermott?
Doug McDermott is active but in the G League.
For what team?
I don't know any G League teams besides the Memphis Hustle.
Well, you're wrong either way. He is in the NBA.
Okay.
Point for Connor Newt, but he is playing for the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah.
Doug McDermott, former Creighton Blue Jay, played for his dad.
I know. Yeah, I was going to say, I know his dad's the head coach.
Yeah, played for his dad at Creighton. He is with the Sacramento Kings. All right, 1-0 Connor. Our second player, baseball player.
Mm.
He was actually on the Detroit Tigers during their good teams in the early 2010s. He became famous once again last year playing for the Mets with his song OMG. Jose Iglesias, where is Jose Iglesias in the world?
Okay.
I can already tell you I don't know where he is.
Jose was a big part of the grimace run for the Mets to make it to the playoffs last year. They sang his original song, OMG. I will let you know he's no longer on the Mets, so I wouldn't guess that. But where is Jose Iglesias?
Okay, I'm ready.
All right. Connor Newt, answers are locked in. Where is Jose Iglesias playing?
I'm going to say he is in AAA baseball in the MILB for Scranton Wilkes-Barre.
Okay, so that would be part of the Yankees organization with Scranton Wilkes-Barre. Parker Kelly, where is Jose Iglesias?
He is in the MLB for the Athletics.
Point for Parker. He is in the MLB. Okay. Jose Iglesias is playing for the San Diego Padres.
Okay.
He is a Padre. So we're tied.
Can I get an extra point for guessing the correct state? Well, I guess the Athletics aren't.
No, shut up.
It's not part of the rules, but I like the effort there.
I need a point for creativity.
See this? He's trying to cheat. I mean,
he's trying to shave as many points as he can.
I mean,
get as many from the judge as possible. It is 1-1 right now with 3 to go. Again, this is the last one that is in North America. The other two could be anywhere in the world. Could be in North America, but could be anywhere in the world. We're going to football here.
Okay.
East Carolina, great. Wide receiver, Zay Jones. Where is Zay Jones playing now? He's been all over the place during his NFL career.
Former Raven, right?
Yeah. I believe former Raven, former Raider, former Jaguar.
Okay.
Zay Jones is our third here on Where Are They Now? Our daily segment these days here on Stillman and Company while we fill in for
Jared. I know
Jared.
This one.
Ready.
So we're writing them down. Answers are locked. Connor Newt, where is Zay Jones?
Shot at the dark. He's in the UFL. Michigan Panthers.
All right.
That's where Connor's wrong. He's in the NFL for the Arizona Cardinals.
Ding, 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 ding. Parker takes the lead.
I don't like how cocky he is, you know?
How'd you not know that, Connor? Come on, dude.
Wow, we got a
guest. Why are you here?
We have a guest appearance here on Where Are They Now? That's David Jane's music as he comes in and celebrates Parker's three-pointer there. Man, it's going to be tough. You're going to have to get one of these on the dot.
I mean,
if you want to come back, it's 4-1 Parker. Does Connor's slump and Where Are They Now continue? All right, let's go to number four. We're going back to baseball here.
Damn it.
I know, that's probably not what you wanted to hear.
No. We're going to college basketball. I was like, all right.
We are going to baseball. Former Dodgers standout had a Linsanity run back in, was it 2011, 2012, somewhere in there? Yasiel Puig.
Oh, wow.
Where is Yasiel Puig playing?
He so could they're be, not in North America.
He could be, but he could be anywhere in the world. This one is wide open.
I don't know any teams, so I'm just going to make one up.
Yasiel Puig is number four on Where Are They Now today. Right now, Parker with a 4-1 lead, so Connor is going to have to get one of these on the dot.
I'm not getting this one.
I'm telling you, it's going to be tough. Parker, you can go first this time. Where is Yasiel Puig?
So he's not in the United States. He is in the Dominican Republic. I just don't know any teams down there.
Make a team up.
That's what I did.
The Santa Ana
Rockettes.
All right, the Santa Ana Rockettes in the Dominican Republic.
I'm getting handicapped right here.
I just made up the Rockettes. Come on, everyone knows the Santa Ana
Rockettes. I'll
spoil it.
Parker is wrong.
Okay. He's playing in Puerto Rico for a team I completely made up, El Tigres de Fuego.
Oh, the Fire Tigers. you guys went Caribbean. Should have gone to Asia. He is in the Korean Baseball League, playing with the Kiwoom Heroes and hitting a balmy 212.
So what nationality is
He is Cuban.
He's Cuban, yeah.
Yeah. He is Cuban. So Yasiel Puig hitting 212 with the Kiwoom Heroes in the KBO.
All right, baby. Give me basketball.
We're down to the last one. I do have a tiebreaker ready if we need it. It is a basketball player.
All right.
Could be anywhere in the world. Former Oklahoma City Thunder player. He was probably number four on the teams that had Durant, Harden, and Westbrook.
Surge.
Where is Serge Ibaka in the
Surge.
World?
Serge. Where's Serge? Okay.
Serge Ibaka, longtime NBA player. He was the power forward on those Thunder team.
All right, I'm
ready. They went to the finals. We're going to let Parker go first here.
Okay.
Because
that's fine.
I want a little bit of drama. Again, it's 4-1. Parker leads Connor Newt. If Connor can somehow, shot in the dark, figure out exactly what team Serge Ibaka is playing on, he can tie it and send us to a tiebreaker. I will read the tiebreaker either way, just because I think
it's fun. Like those.
Parker Kelly, where is Serge Ibaka?
So here's my best guess. He's active. But a lot of NBA players, former NBA players, go to China. So I think he's in China playing for the Shanghai Sharks.
All right.
I wrote down
to China.
The exact same thing.
Wow. You guys both went to Asia on the wrong one.
It's Japan?
You went to Asia.
It's Guangdong?
No, you went to Asia for the basketball player, not the baseball player. You should have gone for the baseball player. Serge Ibaka is playing in Spain for Real Madrid in the EuroLeague.
Damn it. The slump continues, man.
Jake, go ahead and announce the winner now.
No, Parker Kelly.
Don't entertain
with
his
second
cockiness.
Win of the week. Parker
just
Kelly is
too
now
cocky over here, man.
Get off the air.
Parker Kelly is now 2-0 in Where Are They Now? That one went off the rails. Do you guys want the tiebreaker for fun?
Yeah, just for fun.
Okay,
give it to me.
Same format as it was on Monday. I'm going to give you career path. This is a football player, by the way. You have to guess who it is. All right, career path. Started with the Philadelphia Eagles, then the Washington Commanders, then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, back to the Philadelphia Eagles, the LA Rams, the Las Vegas Raiders, the Baltimore Ravens. Who is the player?
He's a traveling man.
He is a traveling man. He's been all over the NFL.
Read those teams off one more time.
Yeah, give it to me again.
Eagles, Washington, Tampa Bay, back to the Eagles, Rams, Raiders, Ravens.
Is it like super obvious?
It should be, yeah. Do you guys want a position?
Yeah.
Wide receiver.
I knew it. Now I'm blanking on his name because I know exactly who it is.
I think I have it.
His highlight came from Michael Vick, right?
I think I have it. I think I have it.
Who you got?
DeSean Jackson?
DeSean Jackson.
That's what I was going there.
DeSean Jackson. Yeah. Sorry. Not DeSean Jackson's highlight was the Miracle in the Meadowlands 2.0 when he returned the punt for a touchdown.
Because I knew it was DeSean Jackson, and I was thinking Eagles receiver, and I just couldn't get there.
Yep, DeSean Jackson.
About to say Earl Thomas, and then you said wide receiver.
Parker wins in Where Are They Now. He will host our final edition on Stillman & Company tomorrow. But if you do like Where Are They Now, which we're getting some good feedback here, 0989 says this may be my new favorite game. So
it's not mine because I keep losing.
We do play it on Four's Company, our Saturday show, which is taking a few weeks off. We won't have a show this Saturday or next Saturday, but starting the 26th, you can come back for more Where Are They Now fun.
I can only beat Nick Frazier.
Yeah.
I seem to like this game
a lot.
Well,
we will have a
I own him in everything. I own him in birthdays. I own him in this.
Me and you will face off for the third time.
It is harder writing it down because I can't.
Right. You can't adjust based on
like if he says, I think he's playing in China, I can't. Yeah. Bounce off of him.
Nope. Yeah, because once he said the Shanghai Sharks, you knew it was over.
But I like this better.
Yeah. It was fun. 615-737-1025 is our phone number here on the program. Again, no Jared versus Joe this week as Jared is out, but that will return in a couple of weeks when Jared comes back, and he will be all ramped up for training camp. But Jared versus Joe is presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. When we come back, there were some uniform changes announced today in the NFL. We'll talk about those and maybe give our thoughts on what the Titans should do when they make their uniform changes that have been rumored. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly in today for Jared Stillman here on Stillman & Company, 1025-1063 The Game. Stillman & Company, 1025-1063 The Game. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt in for Jared Stillman today. Again, Jared will be back on Friday. You got one more show with us tomorrow. So far, what we're going to talk about tomorrow, I'm writing this down. Oh, we have our NFL preview. We're going to wrap it up with the AFC and NFC South. We've talked about that. Also, tomorrow I want to get into the SEC a little bit because SEC Media Days are coming up next week. We're going to have a ton of coverage here on 102.5 The Game, so we're going to preview that a little bit, look at some of the players who are going to be down there, and you know, preview Vandy and Tennessee a little bit. So
the SEC.
Yes.
The SEC.
The SEC. The SEC championship.
We got the SEC, the AC.
Yeah, and then
that's it.
That's about it. The B10.
The Mac.
We will get into that tomorrow, so make sure you tune in 2 to 6 as we will wrap up our week here on Stillman & Company. Jared, again, will be back on Friday. Just finished an electric segment of Where Are They Now, our new game show here on the program. We'll play one more game tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Parker will host since he won. Me and Connor will go head-to-head again. Maddie on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, said for Yasiel Puig, he just invented the Tokyo Wombats.
Yeah.
Seems like that's how it goes.
I mean, once you get to international, it's, you know.
It's
if I can get the league, I'm good. But,
right.
You know.
Connor's only win came because he guessed the Guangdong Tigers.
Yeah.
When
at
was
the
this?
On Force Company.
Game.
The first ever game, the last one, I had Guangdong Tigers, and Connor needed to get the team exactly right to beat Frazier, and he did. So,
I got to channel that energy again.
You do.
It's all mental. It's like a baseball player. If you get rung up a few times, you get in your head.
You got the yips going on?
I'm in my head. You're not in my head. I'm in my head.
No, I think I'm getting in your head a little bit. It's all right.
Well, once you got Zay Jones, I was like, damn it.
Zay Jones was a, I mean.
That was the
sealer. Getting any of these guys exactly right, it's tough to come back from. Did want to touch on this. Today seemed to be NFL uniform release day. The Commanders releasing throwbacks. They called them their Super Bowl era throwbacks, I believe, which basically it was just the old Redskins uniforms.
You can
just
say it.
With the W. Yeah, I hesitated just a little bit there.
You can say it. It's a former team.
Yes. It's their old Redskins uniforms with the new helmets, basically. And I think they look great. I really do.
I do too.
I think it is going to be one of those things, and we've seen it before. I think the Jets did the same thing where they had the throwbacks and it just became their regular uniforms. I think these will eventually be the Commanders' normal uniforms.
I would have loved it a lot better if they went with gold pants. The normal uniform is burgundy helmet, white jersey, burgundy pants, which looks awesome. But there's something about when I think of the Redskins, I think of those gold pants.
Yeah. They're gonna wear those three times this year, but it wouldn't surprise me if they expand it. They make a home version of it, and then that just becomes their regular uniform.
So are they doing away with the black that they wear?
I don't know. See, I don't hate the black uniforms of them. I don't like the W on the front of the helmet. That's the only thing I don't like about it. I think those uniforms look great outside of that W.
Yeah. I don't think they're getting rid of it.
Okay.
But yeah, because, I mean, now the NFL allows all these alternate uniforms.
Right, that is
so
true. You can have multiple helmets.
Which is great.
So
great for
it's phenomenal.
League.
Right. Yeah, love it.
I never understood why they wouldn't. And now the Titans not going to wear the Oilers, but that's a story for another day. The Saints added white helmets, which I think is cool. Those black helmets they tried to introduce
a
couple years ago were horrible.
They're terrible.
And I think the white ones hit better. They can do the Stormtrooper look now, which with the gold accents, I think that's going to
look
pretty
good. You know what might look good? White helmet because it has a gold face mask, black top, white bottoms.
Yeah.
That might look all right.
It's a little bit all over the place, but it might work. These teams try and experiment with these combinations.
But they're going to put it with their all white, like the white with the gold numbers and the white pants. It's going to be
gold
a Stormtrooper.
Pants.
Yeah. It's going to be a Stormtrooper look.
The one that I always think of when I think of NFL teams experimenting with jersey combinations is the Ravens just horrendous. It was purple jerseys with gold pants.
Yeah, gold is awful.
Oh, my God, they were horrible.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
You know which Titans combo a lot of people liked and I never liked? When they unveiled the new ones, they put these out. Or they wore them 1 week, and I was like, what the hell is that? The Navy helmets, obviously.
Yeah.
Navy tops. Light blue bottoms.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that one.
Not a fan.
I
like it better with the white bottoms.
Yeah, I think the white bottoms look best with any of the jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had to pick a color on color to go with, I would go light blue tops, navy blue bottoms.
Love those.
I feel like to make it look aesthetically pleasing, you have to sandwich it like navy, light blue, navy,
or go all in one.
Right.
Or even then, wear one color helmet and then the rest. Like, when the Titans did code blue.
Yeah.
A lot of people didn't like that. I always liked it.
Yeah. I like the Color Rush uniforms.
Oh, those are so cool.
I hated that they were only worn against the Jaguars, basically. They wore them in that Steelers game where Marcus threw four picks, too.
Yeah, and
I was
Steelers,
at that game.
The Steelers were all black.
Yes. Antonio Brown caught three touchdowns. Marcus threw four picks. But Rishard Matthews did catch a 75-yard touchdown, which was the only moment that I remember being good from that game. Well, I guess we got to hit a break here. But when we come back, let's have a conversation about what we want to see from the Titans when they do their uniform reveal. Because it's been put out there. Warren Moon basically said that the Titans are getting new uniforms when he gave the number one to Cam Ward. What are we looking for in these new uniforms? Do we want something closer to the Oilers? Do we want something similar to the original Titans or something completely new altogether? I think there's a lot of good answers to this. And if you have thoughts, text us 615-737-1025. We'd love to hear from you. Our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I would guess that the uniforms are coming with the new stadium.
Yeah.
The timeline makes sense of new stadium, new look. So we've got two more years of these uniforms, it seems. What do we want to see changed?
Which everyone hates, I don't think they're that awful.
I don't hate the current uniforms.
The old ones are way, way better.
But I do think they could be they could use a refresh.
Sure.
So we'll talk about it. 615-737-1025 is our phone number here on the program. Talking uniforms today as a couple of NFL teams changed up their looks on this July morning. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, we're in with you here on Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly in for Jared today. 30 minutes left in the show. But again, don't forget to tune in tomorrow, our final show of the week before Jared returns. Lots to get to, college football, NFL. We're talking NFL here as it was uniform change day. The Commanders releasing new throwback uniforms that gives a Redskins feel to it. The stripes on the sleeves and the numbers and the font on the lettering and all that kind of stuff. The Saints added a white helmet, which I think looks great. But the Titans have long rumored been maybe getting new uniforms in the next couple of years. And Warren Moon, I think, let it slip when he gave Cam Ward the number one. He said they're getting new uniforms too, which will be very similar to the Oilers, was kind of his exact wording.
But more futuristic, he said.
Right, he said with a modern touch to it. So what are we looking for when the Titans do get new uniforms? I think we're 2 years away.
Yeah.
When the new stadium opens, they'll get new uniforms. Do we want something closer to the Oilers, or do you think what the Titans currently have is just needs a little bit of a touch-up?
I want kind of a hybrid, if that makes sense. I want to see basically the Oilers, white helmet with the Titans logo on it,
yeah,
red face mask, light blue jersey, white pants, the whole shebang like the Oilers.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I think that is exactly
perfect.
What I'm looking for.
Then on the road, you can go all white, and I think they should introduce light blue pants.
Yeah.
So you can go white helmet. Or you want to do alternate helmet? Do the light blue Oilers helmet,
yeah,
they did.
No, I think that is what you need. White helmet.
But with the Titans logo.
With the Titans logo, obviously. And I think that they've already kind of spoiled that Titans blue is going to be the main color moving forward. Like, yeah, they don't make that whole press announcement of the Titans are embracing Titans blue, and that's going to be the main color. The light blue is going to be the main color moving forward.
Do you think they do away with navy then?
I think navy is going to become a background color. It still will be there because I don't think they want to get rid of the two-tone blue, yeah, aspect of it. But I think it's going to be a lot less navy and a little more red.
Yeah. Could you see a red jersey in the future?
What about like a red helmet? I mean, because the Lions have like that Hawaiian blue,
yeah,
with the black,
the light blue,
lion,
yeah,
logo.
Would you want like a Houston Texans battle chrome,
the
red?
The battle red,
yeah. Whatever they call it.
I mean,
might
be pretty cool.
Yeah, my worry is if they do a red jersey, it's going to look too similar to what the Patriots wear with their,
yeah,
throwback.
That is a good point. I like a red jersey, but if you're embracing the Oilers of it all, I just don't know if it fits. I'd love a red jersey of the old ones, like red with the navy blue up here, or the,
yeah,
red with the silver.
Yeah, but I don't think it would work for the Oilers.
That's like what I'm saying. I think if you're going to embrace the light blue and the Oilers' history, I think you kind of gotta avoid the red.
I'm trying to think of alternates. Then would you do a gray,
black?
I was going to say, black, I think there's going to be a uniform in the future that incorporates black.
See, I this is one of my takes with uniforms. I think every team should have a black jersey.
Yep. No, my dad gets so mad at me when I say this. I think black works for every single team.
Especially the Titans with the light blue and the red that would pop off a black jersey so much. I think if the Titans decided to do an all-black, go black helmet, black jersey, black pants,
light blue numbers,
with like light blue numbers and little pops of red.
I can see it.
Chef's kiss.
You know what they would do if they did that for the reveal video, right?
The oil.
Oil.
That's what everybody thought when they were doing the reveal, and maybe stupidly because,
yeah,
they were going Oilers, but a black Oilers uniform would kind of be decent. Like, I mean, you would go Titans at this point, but black with like the light blue oil derricks with maybe some red outlines.
I think
up there,
they're getting rid of the oil derrick.
I think so too.
But you could do like the Titans logo in black outlined by light blue, Titans blue.
Yeah.
I think that I have a hat like that.
What
I
about
like
an icy white?
I could, well, they're going to do white.
Yeah.
Every team's going to do white.
Especially if they have white helmets. Now, I would like to see...
With like a chrome logo, though. That's what I'm saying.
Like the Vikings do?
Yeah. I mean, the Packers do it to an extent, but it's not necessarily like chrome.
I kind of like the traditional, like, if you're going to do an all-white, just change the face mask. Like, white helmet, white face mask, all white.
Auburn does that.
Go full Stormtrooper.
Yeah. Kentucky does that.
Yeah.
7341 asks, am I suffering from Mandela effect, or did the Titans have alternate red jerseys in the early 2000s? I don't know if they ever wore them, but they've sold them.
Yes. They like, were retail.
They sell them to the fans. I have a Marcus Mariota red jersey from like 10 years ago.
I like the new red jerseys that were retail. Like they're just today's jerseys, but red with silver and gray. I think they look good.
They could have done red. I just don't know if they will. Taylor says they should just bring back the Oilers throwbacks and have the Titans logo. Just my opinion, though. That's kind of what we're saying, is it's going to be basically that. Billy from Bellevue, black is not a Titans color. Why even try? That would look awful. If anything, it would have to be dark gray, navy, like the Texans' new uniforms. I am Billy from Bellevue, and I have spoken.
Thank you, Billy.
I think that's a good place to end this.
We have his blessing. We can move on.
I did want to get back to our conversation from yesterday about the college football playoff format. Mm. And we kind of had to cut that debate short a little bit because we had Trevor coming on. But I still don't understand why anyone other than the Big Ten would want the 4-4-2-2.
I mean, I slept on it. I still don't get it.
Me too. I was thinking about it last night, actually, because I did want to understand the concept of why would any other... the Big 12 is the only other one I can think of that may get behind that.
The ACC should as well.
But Brett Yormark came out and said he supported the 5-11 yesterday,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And I think Brett Yormark is one of the good ones in college football where he doesn't just necessarily... Because Greg Sankey and Tony Petitti, I mean, they're out for their conferences, understandably so. But Brett Yormark wants more parity across college football, not just in the Big 12.
Yeah. And I think that's how people should be looking at it overall, is what's best for college football. But these guys aren't hired to do what's best for college football. They're hired to do what's best for their teams.
At the end of the day, it's all money-driven.
Right.
Because if you're the SEC, you don't want this because you want the most amount of teams in. If you're the Big Ten, you do want this because you want the most amount of teams in.
That's why the 4-4-2-2-1-1 is what's best for college football, because more conferences are represented. 5 plus 11, you get way more Big Ten than SEC.
I think that's more of a fan view, though.
What do you mean that's
a fan view? Just go look at history.
I don't want the most conferences represented. I want the best teams.
You're still going to get the best with the 4-4-2. Because there are never going to be 14, there are never going to be 12, there are never going to be 16 teams capable of winning the national championship.
I do agree with that, but only having three at-large spots opens up the possibility of, let's say, the 2-3 seeds in the SEC and the Big Ten both lose. So they would automatically get those at-large bids. And that would push somebody else out that deserves to be there. Like, let's say the five. I mean, I get it. You're settling it on the field. They should have won that game. But I think you should still give the best teams throughout the regular season the opportunity to play in the college football playoff.
I'm confused. So, like,
let's say the 3 and 4 seeds in the SEC and the Big Ten both lose their play-in game. One of those teams is not making the college football playoff anymore. At least.
Right. If they won, they should have won.
But are we going to let one game on one day decide who gets in and who doesn't when the regular season should be more of a data point?
And that is the great part about it, because it is placing the most emphasis up until the very last weekend.
But look at Ohio State last year. Like, Ohio State missed the Big Ten championship, but then won the national championship. But they got in because their regular season was better. I don't know.
It doesn't move.
Well, had its own flaws. The whole 12 team had its own flaws.
Right, and last year does have to be taken with a grain of salt because the seeding was all messed up, and they fixed that.
That, and as far as you saying there's not going to be 16 teams capable of winning. That's the same for every single
sport.
Well,
and that's true. Why, if there's not 16 teams capable of winning, why are we doing 16 teams?
Is there 64 teams capable of winning March Madness?
But it's March Madness, and college basketball and college football are very different. Very different.
They are
actually
different.
What about UConn? UConn was a 4 seed, and they won the whole thing.
Yeah, but a 4 seed is much, much different from a 16 seed.
There have been 8 seeds. What, Georgetown? Didn't Georgetown win it, or... Kentucky won it as an 8 seed.
No, they did not.
Butler went to the championship as an 8 or 9
Kentucky
seed.
Must have went as
they,
an 8
they
seed,
went
though, right?
They played UConn. It was an 8 versus 7, but they didn't. They didn't win. And that, I mean, that, I don't.
I just.
It's just, there's a stark difference from an 8 seed to a 16 seed.
I think guaranteeing spots to conferences before the season is just so dangerous because you don't know what those conferences are going to look like on a year-to-year basis. They're going to be years where the Big Ten doesn't deserve 4. They're going to be years when the Big 12 doesn't deserve 2. Like,
I don't think there will be many where the SEC doesn't deserve 4.
Right.
And that's going to have to take several years to convince the rest of the college football world otherwise, because right now and the last 5-10 years, it's just been the SEC and Big Ten.
I mean, Clemson was up there for a long time. Florida State was too.
I mean, yes, but that's 2 teams, but the ACC would still get representation in this model.
I can't see how that model works for anyone but the Big Ten. I really can't. Like,
it would work for the Big 12?
Well, the Big
ACC?
The Big 12 shouldn't really. The Big 12, I think, is kind of in the situation of the Big Ten where it's SEC, Big Ten, ACC, Big 12. Like, you group them in 2, but the ACC has more talent than the Big 12 does, just like the SEC has better than the Big 10 does.
I mean, there's a chance that I'm pretty sure they're going to expand, but the SEC and the Big 10 are at odds on this. So what if we don't get either? What if we still get a 12 team?
I mean, that's still in the deck of cards. I don't think we need 16. I would much rather just stick with 12.
I'm fine with 12. They're going to expand. That's 12, just how
they're going to, because it makes more money, and that's what the world revolves around. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'd love to hear from you. Last call for phones. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Wrapping up the show on the other side, Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly here on Stillman & Company, 1025-1063 The Game. Final segment on this Wednesday. Don't forget, right after us, a special edition of Chasing Checkers with Big Joe Dubin and Joseph Newgarden. We will be sending it up to them in just over 10 minutes from now. Wrapping up the show, Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly. We were talking college football playoff expansion on the other side. Nevada Josh brings up a topic that I think we can finish the show with here. The Big 12 or the Big 16, the Big 10 needs to change to the Big 18 also. It's so confusing. The SEC was smart enough not to put a number in their name.
And the ACC.
Well, the ACC isn't the Atlantic Coast Conference anymore either.
That is true.
The SEC.
Well, then the SEC isn't the Southeast anymore.
It's close enough, though.
Missouri.
Missouri,
Texas,
and Texas.
Oklahoma.
But it's still relatively regional.
Yeah.
Like,
they all border each other.
If you drew quadrants of the United States, they'd all be close to the Southeast quadrant.
Yeah.
The ACC, I mean, you can't have Stanford and Cal in your conference and be the Atlantic Coast Conference.
Or even SMU.
Right. Well, I mean, at least SMU's not on the Pacific Coast.
Yeah.
And then, the Big Ten and the Big 12, I get it. There's brand recognition there, but...
I mean, it's... The Big Ten's mostly the northern to Midwest portion of the country.
I'm wondering, we are seeing some name changes. Who is the latest conference that's changing their name? I saw this the other day. And I'm blanking on it.
It's not the Pac-12's coming back, but they'll
be the Pac-8. But there was another one. Is it the American or Conference USA? One of them.
No, it's not USA.
I don't know. I thought that I saw somebody was changing their name, but I think we should.
Oh, you're thinking of the WAC?
Yes.
The
WAC is now.
They used to be the SWAC.
No, the SWAC.
No, SWAC's
still a thing.
Yeah. SWAC. Because Shedeur Sanders is undefeated in the SWAC.
In the
he let us know.
SWAC, yeah. Well, that didn't help me. I looked up WAC changing name, and I got a whole bunch of Washington State changing your name stuff.
Oh, I thought
stuff.
You were
going
to get something else.
I don't know.
That's good.
But I think it's time. I understand there's brand recognition, but let's get these names to make sense again.
Yeah. That's why we like the SEC.
Yeah.
Because it at least makes sense.
The SEC, at least at this point, it makes sense. The ACC, ready? The All-Coast Conference.
You could still be the ACC.
The American Coastal Conference. You could change it up and still be the ACC, keep the brand recognition.
Yeah.
And honestly, the Big Ten, you could become the Big 18 and keep that B-I-G kind of similar. It might look a little funky, but it would be close enough.
You'd have to find a different Roman numeral for the big 16.
This is why when I'm elected college football commissioner, I'll bring back the Southwest Conference and restore order.
Are you putting Tulane back in the SEC?
Nope.
What about Sewanee?
Sewanee's staying in D3.
Are you putting Chicago University in the Big Ten?
Negative.
You got to rebrand it. Like the Pac-10 became the Pac-12. And now they're going to be the Pac-8. They were the Pac-2 last year.
Yeah.
I think it's time. But actually, I take it back because let's wait a couple more years because odds are the Big Ten's not done expanding.
Oh, yeah. I think the SEC is done expanding unless they get Clemson, Florida State,
Miami are the only three.
Yeah.
And if they went to 20, I think maybe Chapel Hill is where you go.
Yeah, but I feel like if you get Chapel Hill, you try to get Duke too.
Yeah, maybe you don't separate them. Maybe Georgia Tech's the easier one since they already have the rivalry with Georgia. It wouldn't be the sexy pick, but I think it might make the most sense if you went Miami, Florida State, Clemson, Georgia Tech.
Here's the interesting thing about the ACC. So the buyout fee gets to its lowest point. If a team wants to leave the conference, it gets to its lowest point during 2031, $75 million, which is like pocket change to most of these schools.
Oh, so they're locked in for at least
a while. So 2031, if you're looking for a year to circle, that's the year you want to circle because more conference realignment could be coming.
The question becomes, how relevant are Clemson and Florida State at that point? You still got 6 years, and Clemson, we've talked about it. I think Clemson's going to be really good this year, so maybe they hold themselves, but Florida State went 2-10 last year.
Dabo's getting older, too.
Yeah, I think he's got a while left in him.
Yeah, they'll never fire him. He'll leave on his own terms.
Does he have a lifetime contract, Dabo?
I'm sure he does.
Don't ever do a lifetime contract, folks.
Hey,
it's a bad idea.
If he wins the national championship this year, he should just drop the mic and walk off the stage.
Yeah.
It won't happen, but that would be hilarious. He has every right, too.
It is funny because during the years where it felt like it was Alabama-Clemson in the championship every single season.
Yeah.
All the talk was when Saban retires, Dabo's taking that job.
Yep.
And then they wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole because he basically swore off the transfer portal.
And I think that kind of tainted his image a little bit, I guess, because it showed that, he's not as willing to adapt to the new wave of college football as a Kalen DeBoer would have been. Or
he has, at the very least, he has started to adapt. They've started to use the portal more, but
I would love... We talked about it earlier. I'd love North Carolina and Duke in the SEC for basketball purposes.
Yep.
Because you'd have these, like, Kentucky and North Carolina would play in conference play. You'd see Duke and Tennessee play in conference play.
It would be good.
It'd be good basketball.
I think that would, if it's already not solidified, I think it is. But the SEC would be head and shoulders above everyone else in football and basketball.
I mean, that would completely knock ACC out of Power Four.
We had this conversation a couple weeks ago about the downfall of the ACC and how they went from, you could look back as recently as like 2019, 2020, 2021, where ACC basketball was really good. And now they get
conference.
Now they get four teams into the tournament every year.
Yeah.
If that.
It's wild.
Crazy.
Just wild.
I mean, it's all the coaches retiring, obviously, is part of that, but also just the money. The ACC doesn't have the money to keep up with the SEC.
Don't sign bad TV deals.
That is a lesson that everybody should have
learned. Or lifetime contracts.
Yeah.
I would know all about that.
There you go.
Twice.
Don't sign lifetime contracts. Don't sign bad TV deals.
And don't lose to food. Rice.
All right. Oh, don't lose to food. Gotcha. Yeah.
Did I lose to Rice?
The Rice Owls?
Ah, yes.
That'll do it for us here on this Wednesday. We will be back again tomorrow, wrapping up our week on Stillman and Company. Again, Jared will be back on Friday tomorrow, finishing our NFL preview, looking at the AFC-NFC South. We're going to preview SEC Media Days and much more. A comment on Chris Long's podcast caught my ear earlier today, so we'll talk about that tomorrow too. But coming up next, Chasing Checkers, a special edition with Big Joe Dubin and Joseph Newgarden. Keep it tuned right here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.